Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that we can come to you this morning. And Lord, the words thanksgiving, the word thankful, the word rejoicing is once again being given to us as a reminder in today's prayer. And Lord, help us to be more thankful. Help us to be rejoicing more. Not in self, not in the things of the world, but in what you have done for us. Help us to really understand more deeply the price that you paid and the gift that you have given each of your children, Lord, forever, forever, and ever, and ever. Guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Deuteronomy chapter 26 is a whole chapter given to the Feast of First Fruits and the giving of tithes and offerings. And basically, you could summarize it all up, I think, as, are you really thankful? And are you rejoicing in what he has done? So we will see once again a reminder, and the context is the children of Israel. And basically, it is fulfilling the Feast of First Fruits, which was one of the six feasts given to the new nation. And it has at its core the idea of God bringing out of bondage and bringing in to the promised land. And that has such direct application for us as we think of how we have been taken out of the bondage of sin. Amen? And we have been brought into the fellowship of Christ. We have been brought into the adoption as his sons and daughters forever. Now, I don't care what things impressed you this week. You may have seen some very impressive things, but nothing can compare to that gift that he has given us. Just think of it. Being his alone, even if it was only for a few years, would be unbelievable, but being his forever. So how can you not rejoice when you think of that? Because all this other stuff here is all going to pass away. It doesn't really amount to anything, generally speaking. But where is our heart? How close are we? So I want to begin just by giving thanks and singing this song. And it's on the top of your notes, an old Maranatha praise song. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One.
Because of what the Lord has done for us.
Amen to that. Amen. So just a quick review of the Feast of First Fruits as we had it given to us in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 9. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you, and you reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it, and you shall offer on that day, when you wave the sheaf, a male lamb of the first year without blemish, as a burnt offering to the Lord. Its grain offering shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord for a sweet aroma, and its drink offering shall be of wine 1/4 of a hin. You shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until the same day that you have brought an offering to your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings." So that was given, of course, right between the book of Exodus and Numbers, where Leviticus is, occupying about a 30-day period. And now we move on to Deuteronomy, and this is almost 40 years later. And we have a repeat here, as we do in Deuteronomy. And in chapter 26, we have, the whole chapter is about the offering of first fruits and tithes. So repeating in verse 1, really, from what we just read in Leviticus, "And it shall be, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, and you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide." So notice that you take the first of your fruits. So ask yourself this morning, where in the things that you're giving to the Lord is its position? Is it first? Is it second? Is it 15th? Is it wherever? That's not just money, that's your time, that's your effort, that's your prayer. Each of us have 24 hours a day. Where is the giving of time to the Lord? Is it first or is it last or not at all? So that's the procedure here. You take the first part of the fruits, and then you put it in a basket, and you bring it to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. In this case, then later it will be Jerusalem. Initially, it would have been up at Shiloh and so forth, wherever the Lord's chosen to make his name abide. And verse 3, "And you shall go to the one who is priest in those days and say to him," now here's what you declare, "I declare today to the Lord your God that I've come to the country which the Lord swore to your fathers to give us." So you'll notice here that God has delivered them out of Egypt, right? And in this case, he's delivered them out of Egypt almost 40 years ago. But the purpose of that was to bring them in to the promised land. And so now it says, "I declare today that I've come to the country which the Lord swore to your fathers to give us." Because now this starts when they get in the country and they bring their first of their produce that they get from the land. And then verse 5, "And you shall answer and say before Yahweh your Elohim," or before the Lord your God, "My father was a Syrian about to perish," talking about Jacob here, and really Abraham in a sense, "my father was a Syrian about to perish, and he went down to Egypt and dwelt there, few in number," you know, only like 75 went initially, the family of Jacob, "and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous." So we see here that we need to remember when we offer our first fruits, where did we come from? You know, David said, "You took me from the sheepfold," right? I was nothing. And without the Lord, were we not nothing? So we are not, we don't have anything to brag about. We want to remember that we, in this case, here they are now, 1.5 to 2 million people, but they need to remember they came in, they weren't even Israelites. They were Syrians. Abraham never had any property in Israel except the cave he brought for, or the land with the cave of Machpelah for the burial place. And Jacob really didn't have any land either. So they were really sojourners. They were really Syrians more than they were Israelites. And so here it says, my father was a Syrian. And so they became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. So remember remember your beginnings. And then verse 6, but the Egyptians mistreated us, afflicted us, and laid hard bondage on us. Then we cried out to the Lord God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. Reminded of Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, just a great verse. It says, I have seen, I have heard, I know, and I will deliver. And I would suggest that each of us take that verse personally. Whatever we're doing, whatever we're going through, he has seen, he has heard, and he knows, and he will deliver us. Now that alone is rejoicing, isn't it? Just that alone, but it gets better. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, with great terror and signs and wonders. That's the deliverance. And then verse 9, he has brought us to this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land. And that reminds us, of course, of Jesus Christ, who is our first fruits, 1 Corinthians 15, 20, 23. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So think what that means. That means eternal. We're talking about eternal now. We're talking about conquering death. And when you think about it, what does every living human being really down deep fear? And that's death, right? And so they grab onto all kinds of things to extend their life here on earth, but that's foolishness. What they need to do is embrace the Lord who has conquered death forever, right? And then it doesn't matter when you die. You die in the womb, it's all right. But once you get beyond the accountability, Lord, age, you better have the Lord, right? So the first fruits of the land, which you, O Lord, have given me, then you shall set this basket before the Lord your God and what? And worship before the Lord your God. So we bring the first fruits. We don't eat them. Oh, that first fruit looks so luscious. No, you don't eat any of it until you've offered the first fruits to the Lord. And you set it before the Lord, and then you worship. And then verse 11, so you shall rejoice. So the giving of what God has given us, the worship and thanksgiving for it, and then rejoicing in what he has given us. Isn't that a glorious thing? His child forever I am. Father, we thank you for this beautiful prayer of really along the lines of thanking you for what you have given us. And Lord, I believe everyone in this room is yours forever. And how can we not rejoice over that beautiful, beautiful fact that our names are written in the book of life? So Lord, we want to come to you this morning with rejoicing. We want to come to you with thanksgiving. And Lord, we want to come to you praying for the unbelievers. We want to come to you praying for kings and those in authority. We want to come to you praying for the body of Christ. We want to pray for all of those who are in need today and maybe can't even pray because of the difficulties they're going through or whatever, or maybe sin has separated them from you. So Lord, just the way you, Holy Spirit, would guide us to pray is how we want to pray. So lead us now in this time of prayer, we ask in Jesus' name.